Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are now in Quran chapter 12, verse 93, and Genesis chapter 45 to learn about the coming of Jacob, that is the entire nation of Israel, to the country of Egypt. Amazingly, when we went in the Quran in chapter 12, we learned that it was Jacob who told his sons to go back to Egypt to search for Joseph and his brother. And I do not know exactly what was in the imagination of those who helped Muhammad to rewrite the story of the Bible in the Quran, because it does not make any sense whatsoever, as we have shared with you in our last broadcast. Jacob knows that Joseph is alive. Jacob continued to cry until he lost his eyesight. That is the interpretation of Muslim scholars when they said that his eyes turned white. And then Jacob told his sons, as we read in Quran chapter 12 and verse 87, Jacob said, "Oh my sons, go and inquire of Joseph and his brother, and do not give up hope for the Spirit of Allah. Surely no one will give up hope from the Spirit of Allah except the infidel people." So obviously the conclusion here from reading Quran 12 verse 87, that it was Jacob who sent his sons to search for Joseph and his brother. That is the opposite message of that which we read in the Genesis account. For in the book of Genesis chapter 45 verse 9, it was Joseph who told his brothers the following: "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and you and your children, your children's children, your flocks, and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all what you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine." Two opposite messages. One without any details, as somebody does not know any idea what he's talking about. And maybe somebody heard the story of Joseph in his childhood, and now he is in his 50s or 60s, and he doing the best as he can to remember some of the information, adding a lot of fabrication and make up this beautiful, beautiful poetry of the Quran, or a true, accurate, biblical teaching concerning what really happened. Notice that when we read the Bible, we have details. It's not just something made up. When the Bible mentions the land of Jeshan, we call in English Goshen, this is not just some empty land and nowhere in planet Earth, as Muhammad always does in his writing in the Quran, where he never mentioned two cities. But we have details. What was the position of Joseph in the land of Egypt? Yes, God made him in charge of all the land of Egypt. You could not figure this out in the Quran. You may think that he was just some guy lived somewhere under Pharaoh. So it's not just the opposite message of who sent who. Was it Jacob sent his sons to search for Joseph, or was it Joseph sent his brothers to bring Jacob to the land of Egypt? Two opposite messages. But when you go to the details of the rest of the story, you find that the Quran is a comedy book, a foolish writing. Maybe it sounds great in the Arabic poetry for the rhyme of the verses, but in reality, it is an empty book. For literally, people with empty heads who believe whatever their imams tells them simply because they are gullible simply because they do not know what's written in the Quran and simply because they never read the true biblical account. And that's why I believe it's very important for the Muslims in the 21st century to stop the level of ignorance which has been taught to them throughout the last 1400 years, that you should never read the Bible because it's a corrupt book, when in reality, as I said before, Muslims cannot understand the simple reading of the Quran to any story, any subject, at any page without going back to the Bible in the case of Joseph or any of the biblical accounts. Continuing in the book of Genesis chapter 45, Joseph now is speaking to his brothers in verse 12, for he said to them, "And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you." Continuing in verse 13, Joseph said, "So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here." Notice the next scene here, which obviously was not mentioned in the Quran, for as we have read in the Quran, the comedy or the silly writings of Allah, of how Joseph's brothers, when they went back to Egypt, inquire of Joseph and his brother, they just want to buy some grain using their poor merchandise, some robes and some skin and some butter. As ridiculously Muslim scholars interpret the word deficient merchandise, as if they did not know that that is their brother Joseph. And the conversation want to see that Joseph said, "Do you know what you have done to Joseph and his brother?" And as you continue with the writing of the Quran to that conversation which took place between Joseph and his brothers, you see a made-up story, nonsensical, makes one wonder what in the world was going on in the head of the man or whoever was helping Muhammad to make such poetry in the Quran. Continuing in verse 90, they were not even surprised to tell Joseph, "Are you surely Joseph?" And his answer was very nice and calm, "Yes, I am Joseph, and this is my brother," pointing to Benjamin. I mean, it is so ridiculous. I cannot say other words about the propaganda of Allah in the Quran, but it is simply ridiculous words. In verse 91, they swear to Allah they were sinners. In verse 92, Joseph said, "Oh well, no sin will be on you today. Allah will forgive you, and He is the most merciful of the merciful." Is this really what happened in the Bible? I want to read to you the true biblical account, which anyone with logic or common sense, when he read it, not only he will believe it to be true biblical teaching, but you can't help it but to tear up. Your eyes will cry, your heart will be touched, because that is what I call logical information. For in verse 14 we read, "Then he," that is Joseph, "fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck." Imagine with me how it is for Joseph to be united with his brother Benjamin. Maybe throughout the years Benjamin heard about his older brother Joseph. And maybe if you can use your imagination, how many times Jacob told Benjamin, "Your brother Joseph this, your brother Joseph that. He was 17 years old. I sent him to Dothan to check on your brothers, and some bees ate him, and all I got is his shirt." And perhaps after all these years, Jacob held onto the shirt with the false blood on it. That is the blood of some goat which his brother slaughtered, to make their father Jacob believe that Joseph was devoured by some beast. Here we see both of Joseph and Benjamin hugging each other, crying on each other's shoulders, and loving each other again. Not only Joseph wept as he hugged his brother Benjamin, but notice what is written in the following verse. That is in verse 15. "Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them." And after that, his brothers talked with him. Imagine the silent moments, which seem like hours. Joseph told his brothers that he is Joseph. Joseph did not speak with harshness anymore. Joseph hugged and kissed his brothers, and he wept over them. And after a while, that's when his brothers start believing of the great new news. Wow. What have we done and what God has done, as they start to talk with Joseph. Not only this was a conversation between Joseph and his brothers, after all the people of Egypt were removed from Joseph's house when he told his brothers that he is Joseph, their brother. Now the news spread in Egypt. For now, Pharaoh's house heard about that new report. In verse 16, we read, "Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come, so it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well."
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
We know after that Pharaoh gives a recommendation to Joseph to bring his family to Egypt. As he told Joseph, "Whatever command you give, let it be." He sent Egyptian chariots to the land of Canaan to bring Joseph's father and all the women and the children. And he said, "Come to Egypt," declaring that, "Don't worry about your furniture, whatever goods you have in the land of Canaan, because all the best of the land of Egypt is yours." In verse 21, we read, "Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey." Joseph gave his brothers many gifts and plenty of food, and he sent them away to depart to the land of Canaan. He gives them also a great advice, as we read in verse 24. "See that you do not become troubled along the way. Love one another. Be in peace with one another. Go back to the land of Canaan and bring my father Jacob and all your families." Amazingly, Muhammad, or those who helped him to rewrite the story of Joseph in the Quran, not only omitted much important information about the true life of Joseph, but they also added plenty of fabrication, as we have seen so much fabrication in the pages of the Quran. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 12, verse 93. "Go with this, my shirt," Joseph said. "So throw it on my father's face, and he will recover his sight, and bring me all your family." That is what Joseph stated in the Quran. What shirt? And how that magic shirt will bring the sight of Jacob back by just laying that shirt on his eyes. In the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, he stated that a man by the name Abu Ja'far mentioned that when Joseph told his brothers that he is their brother, he asked him about their father. So they said to him, "His sight has gone from the sorrow." That's when he gave them his shirt. In the same interpretation of Al-Tabari, he mentioned a man by the name Sana Amru, who stated that Al-Sadi said, "Joseph asked him what my father did after me, and his brother said, when we took Benjamin from him, he became blind from the sorrow. That's when Joseph said, 'Take my shirt and put on his face,' and his sight will come back to him and bring me all your people. Now, to know a little bit more information about that magic shirt, we go to the great Muslim scholar Al-Qurtubi, who said that that is the shirt of Abraham, which Allah put on Abraham when he was thrown into the fire. That is, obviously, if we assume that the story of the Quran about Abraham being thrown into the fire is true, which is another fabrication in the Quran. Now, Muslim scholars told us that that shirt was made of the silk of the garden, the silk of paradise, and it was the same shirt which was bought on Isaac, and Isaac gives the same shirt to Jacob, and Jacob was the one who inserted that shirt into a pipe made of silver, and he put it around the neck of Joseph because Jacob was so afraid that some evil eye will come on him, somebody will envy him. So he believes that that shirt will protect Joseph from the evil eye. And the great Muslim scholar Al-Qurtubi also told us that Angel Jibreel is the one who told Joseph to send that shirt, which has the smell of the paradise, the smell of the garden, to his father. For the smell of the garden will not fall on anybody who is sick or who have any difficulty unless he was completely healed. Now, Al-Hasan said, if it was not that Allah is the one who gives the knowledge to Joseph about that, Jacob's sight would have never returned to him. You see what's happening here? It is a fabrication about that silk shirt which was given to Abraham by Allah, and he gave it to Isaac, and Isaac gave to Jacob, and Jacob put in a pipe around his son Joseph's neck, and now the shirt will be returned to be put on Jacob's eye, the blind eye, and miraculously his sight will return to him. When in reality, according to the Bible, as we continue to read the Genesis account, Jacob never lost his sight. He never kept crying and crying for whatever time you want to put in it. If it was according to the logic of reading the verses of the Quran, a good couple hours maybe, and he lost his sight. Or even according to the Bible, we know that Jacob did not accept to be comforted after the loss of his son Joseph, and that was years and years before the rest of the fabrication which we read about in the Quran about losing his other son Benjamin. And somehow Muslim scholars make it to be as if it is true. Once again, let me remind you of the biblical account. After Jacob sent his son Benjamin with the rest of his sons to Egypt, Joseph told them the truth that he is their brother, and then Joseph's brothers, all of them, including Benjamin, returned back to the land of Canaan to bring their father Jacob to Egypt, as we'll see in the rest of the biblical account. So the made-up story about the loss of his eyesight, it's a lie, because the Bible never said that Jacob lost his sight from crying over his son Joseph, or as we read in the interpretation of the Quran by so-called Muslim scholars, because he was upset about the loss of his son Benjamin, because he never lost Benjamin as it is written in the Genesis account. And the Quran did not say that he was upset about the loss of Benjamin, but he just somehow remembered to cry for Joseph, because once again, in the Quran writings, Jacob never cried when he learned about some wolf ate his son Joseph, as he just said simply, be patient. Let me read to you what Allah said in Quran chapter 12 and verse 18. After Joseph's brothers put blood on Joseph's shirt and gave that bloody shirt to their father Jacob, we read, he said, that is Jacob, yet your soul lightens the affair. So patience is beautiful, and Allah is the one who is asked for assistance about what you described. We never read anywhere from that verse until we get to verse 83 that Jacob ever cried over his son Joseph. For in verse 83, we read, he said, that is Jacob, yet you have arranged all the affairs among yourself. So patience is beautiful. Perhaps Allah will bring all of them to me. What is all of them? That is Joseph, Benjamin, and the other brother, which the Quran does not tell us what is his name. The one who refuses to go back to the land of Canaan unless his father Jacob gave him a permission. Obviously, if he believed that his son stole the cup from the ruler of the land. Jacob ended his saying by stating, surely he is the knower, the wise. Then surprise, surprise, in verse 84 we read, and he, that is Jacob, turned away from them, and he said, oh, my sorrow for Joseph. And his eyes became white from the grief, so he was full of anger. Imagine with me, in the entirety of the Quran, all these verses, we never read that Jacob was upset over the loss of his son Joseph, nor did he cry, except here in verse 84. That's not the biblical account. That's not what the Bible said. For according to Genesis 37, after Jacob held the coat of many colors in his hand, which was covered with blood, he knows for sure that some beast have devoured his son Joseph. And that's when we read in chapter 37 and verse 34, then Jacob tore his clothes, put sacks on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his fathers wept for him. That is the true biblical account. But did Jacob really become blind because of the cry over his son Joseph? Or did he lose his sight near the end of his life? This is what we will discover in the end of our study. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.